Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. If there was any good Sunday to not come to church, it'd probably be this one, for real. I get it. You know, and a lot of people, the drifts are bad and people are traveling, all that, man. Totally understandable. Super thankful. I got to quit saying the word super. I've been doing that for a few years now. I got to get that out of my vocabulary. I'm super thankful for the super message that's going to take place today. But no, I want to thank everybody. Especially I want to thank these guys, but, hey, Jordan back there is doing like three jobs. So he's sliding it, controlling the music, and now it has to be live. So he's got that going too. So thanks, Jordan, everybody. If you're listening online today, here's what you have to do. It's a requirement. Since Jordan is working this thing and, you need to get in the comments, man. That's what you need to do. Don't comment about the music. That's a rough one, but we get it. We're working that thing. But give a shout out and thank Jordan that everybody's able to do that. And we've got the capabilities that if things got real bad, you remember during, you know, COVID, 4 years ago now, we were all in our homes and we did it. And so anyways, I'm thankful and I'm thankful for Jordan, thankful that we're able to do it. So, hey, we're heading actually, eventually here in about 4 weeks, we're going to hit the book of John. We're going to tackle the gospel of John for several reasons. But until then, until we're ready, I started a message last week that I want to finish. And basically, I'm going to call the church to more this year. More. And when you think of more, please don't think that, my gosh, I'm tapped out. I'm giving all my time right now. We're giving all of our money, you know. It's a call to more. Basically, I want you to know, it's just not a call to less. Because that's a typical thing today. Everybody wants to call people to less. Like, oh my gosh, I know everybody's busy, so, and then we dumb it down. We've done that for years, and now our education system is way down because we keep bringing the standards down. I just want to make sure that we don't fail God and His Word. It's a call to more. It's a call to give our lives. We sang it today, right? We're going to give it all away, all or nothing. And that's what I want 2024 to be for the church. And so a call to more. Last week, we started in Acts Chapter 3, this is where Peter and John, they walked up and the gate beautiful, and there's a dude there that's lame, and he's asking for alms. He's asking for money, and this guy thought he needed money, but what he really needed was a set of legs, man. That's what he really needed. A lot of people don't even really know what they need, and so like what Peter and John, they looked down and they said, listen, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk. They introduced him to the healer, to Jesus Christ. And so we learned last week that as a church, we need to live to make other people's walk change, right? That was really the big point last week, is let's live our lives in such a way that people are meeting Jesus Christ. Let's in 2024 make disciples, not just make converts. Basically, last year, we seen about 20 salvations last year. Do you know how many people completed discipleship, our first steps of discipleship? Two. Fail. That's a fail. That's like saying, man, our team this year, man, we had a ton of people, man, like, you know, get singles, you know? Like, people kept getting on base. Well, man, they got around home plate for it to really count, you know? And so this is a year where we want to make disciples. Hopefully your walk has changed, but we want to live to see other people's walks change, right? And so, and then we got down to verse 19 in chapter 3, and Peter's like, hey, repent therefore and be converted. He uses this miracle as a platform to preach Jesus. So miracles always cause people to marvel. Anytime people stop and marvel, listen to me, church, listen. It is an opportunity for a message, for the gospel. This is exactly what we see all through the book of Acts. In Acts 1:8, he makes it clear that once you get saved, I'll put my power inside of you. I'll fuel your tank for you to make a journey so that you can be witnesses, that you can proclaim. I'll give you the dynamite inside, but you got to blow, man. You got to give it out and tell people about Jesus Christ. So just remember that. When people marvel, I don't care if it's a negative. I don't care if it's a positive. Guys, And what we did, I looked in the past, I have failed so many times here, even as a pastor, when culture is marveling and something is wrong and they're stopped dead in their tracks, and like, that is the opportunity for the messages of Christ. That's what we should do. So we learned that last week. Well, what happens? Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. I gotta be careful here. I was on a Zoom call last week, and there was three of us on the call, and the guy beside me finally looked over and he goes, "Dude, why are you yelling?" I was like, I don't know. Well, the guy on the other end of the Zoom meeting, his head's this big. So in my mind, he just felt so far away. So I had to call him in, you know, and let him know. I'm doing that right now. I must not be able to hear myself well because I'm finding myself yelling. But yeah, well, if I'm preaching and yelling, that's a little different. But if I'm just yelling, like, you know, good night. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead," which the Sadducees struggled with that doctrine, "and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." What we learn is the message was spreading. This guy got healed. Peter was preaching this message as people were marveling, and so all of a sudden they decided to put them in hold because they preached Jesus. See, in verse 4 it says, "Many heard and many believed." And so, and then they were wondering. They were like, "By what power?" In verse 7, why are you guys doing this? By what name have you done this? And which is really interesting. So listen, they're causing trouble. Peter and John, especially amongst the religious people, they're causing trouble. And I wanted to cause a little trouble today. I'll be honest. It was a good day to, you know, to call off church, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. But I was watching the playoff game last night, the Kansas City Chiefs, and it broke a record. They walked into that stadium without wind chill. It was -4, and there was people not only in the stands watching this game, but there was people that were ripping their shirt off. And so I joined him in the living room, but man, it was warm in there. You know, these guys were out in negative temperatures with no shirts on, shouting and rooting their team on. And I thought, my gosh, they're causing a ruckus. You know, they talked about moving that game, like the Steelers game. By the way, they moved that game because there's going to be a bit snowstorm there. So they moved it to Monday evening so they can get ahead of it. So I get it. They want to do that. But last night they decided to roll with it. And so, my gosh, I thought, if they can meet outdoors in like -25 or -30, I was just like, hey, I'm having church. Yeah. And honestly, even if the furnaces are off, that's what I thought. We're going to gather whoever can gather. And the good thing is we can gather like this too. So that made it really, really awesome. But the bottom line is this, you know, and some people, was it fair to Miami? That's all they do is live in the sun down there. Was it fair to the Dolphins? Dolphins don't like the cold. You know, and people, you know, argue that, like, my God, hey, it's part of it. It's just what it was. Nobody can control the weather, but they did it. They went forward that game and the results are out, you know. And that's, I feel like the church of the living God, you know, people complained, people argued, but you know, one of the biggest arguments over that game was the NFL games, Peacock bought the rights to all the NFL playoff games. And there were people that couldn't get Peacock. Normally they could just adjust their antenna, or if they had like some Dish or Direct, well, they're in conflict with that channel. So like people now had to pay for a game they normally could see, you know, right up people, because people wanted to see the game. That's the main thing. And hey, things happened, higher powers ruled, and people were able to watch, which is, praise the Lord for that. That's what I thought this morning. Man, you live out and about. Hey, praise the Lord, because you can still watch. I wonder how many people would have said that this morning in church. Man, it's cold, we're drifted in, or cars don't start. My truck barely started this morning. My cars won't start. What you really want is a group of people playing, like, we want to hear the message. The message has got to go forth, right? People are doing that over the Chiefs game. We need people doing that over the message, over the church service. That's what you really want to have. We don't have to have an online service so people think we're cool. We only need to have an online service so people can hear the message. People want to hear the word of God. That's what we really want. So the bottom line is, you know why we wanted to have a church this morning? To cause a ruckus. That's why you want to cause a ruckus. You want people to talk about it. That's dangerous. Yeah, it is. I get it. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, what if? I don't know what could happen here. But I like here that this guy got healed and they started spreading the message of Christ in the city. It started to spread, so they put him in. It says they held him, almost we think a jail. They just pulled these guys off the street because you know what? The message causes trouble. I hope the message of Jesus Christ is coming out of our mouth. I hope it's stirring our counties. It causes trouble. We got to get the message out. We don't want to cause trouble and a ruckus by a bad personality like mine, but we want to cause a ruckus by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ going out, and the enemy should not be happy. Question for you today, is the enemy happy with you? A lot of Christians, everybody says, that is the nicest lady I've ever met in my life. That is a nice guy right there. And if that's your testimony in your church, everybody just thinks your church is great. That's not the point. They should hate us for a reason, because we stand on truth. Truth is very offensive to people, and they got the message out. I love this story, man. You know, they're saying, why did you guys do this? And it says in 4:8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke out, man. He said, yes, some guy gets healed, and he's boldly preaching. And we're going to talk about that again today, about being filled with God's Spirit. The number one thing that's done when you're filled with God's Spirit is you proclaim the truthful message of the gospel with boldness. That's what it really means. That's what the Bible says. So last week, I'm still doing review from last week, by the way. And so last week we talked about this. Hey, what's been done by you? I know what's been done. What's been done by you? Are you been bold to preach the message? Right? And it says in verse 14, you know, it says, well, look at verse 13, 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. I love that verse. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The testimony was true. There was one guy that entered the world that called a ruckus more than any other person in history. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter and John come on the scenes and they're like, you know, it's obvious. These guys, the way they're speaking with authority, and with all boldness, we know they're unlearned. They are ignorant men. It's obvious Jesus is rubbed off on them. They had been with Jesus. Man, that's the testimony we want. We want to leave people where they're going, my gosh, what in the world? And look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them. So not only, guys, do we proclaim a big message, but we should have fruit in our lives. People standing next to us that say, I can testify. I've been healed. I've been healed by Jesus. This message healed me. It says, and they could say nothing against it. I love verse 14. They could say nothing against it because the fruit's in the pudding. The gospel works. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel changes lives. Isn't it true? It's true. It says in verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, hey, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. To live our lives, to see the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, to our people standing around, it says, my gosh, we can't deny that guy's changed. There used to be this song I learned years ago, and it was about two neighbors. And anyways, this one neighbor was just a mean drunk, you know. Well, somebody introduced him to Jesus Christ and he changed. His life totally changed. And, well, the neighbor boy whose dad had changed, he was over playing with some other neighbors. And there were some dudes out in the yard just hanging, talking, drinking beer. And one of the neighbors just said, my gosh. He said, can you believe that? That Frank, like, he's turned crazy on us. Like, he's bought into all this religious stuff. And he says, it's just crazy because that stuff is not real. And the little boy heard it, and the little boy went over and said, hey, guys, hey, don't tell my dad that it ain't real. Because he's totally changed. He's not the man he used to be. My mom's safe again. Because Jesus touched his life. And they could say nothing. May they see the proof of changed lives. That's the best advertisement our church can make. Skip social media. It maybe is a third or fourth runner up, but the best is changed lives. If you notice verse 17 in chapter 4, it says this. They said they can't deny it, but verse 7, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. Do you see what they want? It says in verse 17, they don't want it to spread. It's taking over. Because, you know, guys, the RSV, the COVID, it used to be the AIDS virus. No, I'll tell you what's greater than a bad cold, man, the gospel. It spreads. If we would just open our mouths and let it out. You know what they're telling us today? Put it in your elbow, man. Put it in your elbow. No, stop putting it in your elbow and broadcast the message. My girls always laugh at when I sneeze. I don't do this in people's faces. But it feels so good to blow it, man. That's, you'll feel good. It's like there's a, you'll feel it like a buzz, you know. And so when I got to sneeze outside, man, watch out, nature. Man, because I blow, man. The trees move. And it feels good. My body's obviously rejecting something, and it needs to get out. So we were in the doctor's office the other day, and now they're where we were at. They were wearing masks again, and a lady had a mask on. And she's like, and she really had to cough bad. She was an elderly lady, and so man, she did hacking and coughing. She just pulled her mask on. She's like, and she put her mask back on, and we're all sitting there. And I was like, I guess that's why we're wearing masks today. You know, her daughter was just like, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, I had to cough. You want me to cough inside this mask? I don't, what do you do? It's so confusing, isn't it? The bottom line is this. Quit masking the gospel. Quit putting the gospel in your elbow. Put it out. It's got to be broadcast because look what they want to do. It says, let's stop the spreading of this. Verse 18, it says, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all. Nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't want it to spread. Guys, the enemy wants to silence us, wants to silence the gospel. Why? Because it's powerful. It's life-changing. You can talk about God all you want. You start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way, there's only one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus. You start broadcasting that message, you will find that the enemy wants you to be quiet. But remember, these guys, any obstacles they get, it became a platform to spread it and to go louder with it. That's exactly what they did. And they said this. Verse 19, should we, he basically says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you can judge that. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So if you've really seen and heard the gospel's changed your life, then you're going to broadcast it. When people don't broadcast it, I always wonder this. Did they get a hold of the same gospel I did? Like, I remember when I came home from church camp, I remember in my house, my mom actually had a friend over that night, and my mom just said, they couldn't shut me up because my life had changed so much. And this is exactly what happens. They want to silence us. They want to silence you. And so we need to be bold like this. And it says, and guys, and here's new stuff. So now this is new from this point on today. Look at verse, look at verse 21. 20 says, we can't help but speak these things. Verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. Watch this. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Did you guys notice it says all men? Everybody around that knew, I mean, they knew Harold. Everybody knew Harold since he was a kid, right? He couldn't walk. And all of a sudden now these people see him. He walks into the temple proclaiming now, and they're like, he's praising God. This guy has changed. It's crazy. Everybody sees it. And the Bible says that all men was glorifying God for what was done. But notice the authorities were threatening. A small group, a minority group, was trying to shut these guys up from preaching the gospel. And yet the Bible says that all men were glorifying God for what was done. Hey, mark this down. This would be good. The minority group always tries to control the narrative. Isn't it true? Just look at life in general. The minority group always tries to control the narrative. Here it says, all men glorified God. They were trying to silence these apostles and get this thing shut down. Isn't that crazy? I can give so many examples about this in our country right now. Isn't it crazy? By the way, the biggest, like minority group right now that's got the loudest voice is anybody that wants to deal with sexuality, especially gender changing in the U.S. Have you ever looked at the stats on it? I mean, they're literally manipulating things, changing laws, changing all kinds of rules and regulations for a group of people that in the United States, if you do the math, it would end up being like 0.05. Not even 1%. It's barely about 0.5% in the United States. How do they got such a big voice? Isn't that weird? How do they get such a big voice? There's more people that can't walk correctly in the United States. I mean, like disabled people. They're having a hard time walking. That it's painful to do stairs. Like in wheelchairs, crutches, some sort of, they need some help. That stat's like 7%. Isn't that funny? Like, well, let's give the voice to, how do they get such a loud voice when it says here that all men were glorifying God for what was done? And guys, I'm here to tell you, most people don't buy it. But the loudest voices, the people that got the microphone, see what they've done here is they're trying to do the same thing that they do today, and it's working. They're silencing. They're silencing people and you and me, and I'm not talking political right now. I'm talking the Church of Jesus Christ. We should be boldly shouting the gospel. We should be causing a ruckus wherever we're at, right? That's exactly what should be happening. And don't let, what, good golly. Like, our county should be changing. And I believe, just in our state, I've been thinking a lot about Chicago lately. And what the Chicago needs is a good dose. You know what they need in there? They need a wind. They need a crazy vortex to come in there of Bible believers that are just preaching the hot, all-powerful, changing message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and churches that will stand on it. That's what needs to, you'll come through there and people's lives will totally be changed. The gospel changes people. Then we need to have churches that will stand on the truth of the word. And I'll tell you, in churches that just say, well, we'll give you like the freedom, but believe whatever you want to believe. No, we believe what God says. That's the rule of thumb. Believe what the Bible says. And you can wear a purple shirt or a black shirt. That's kind of irrelevant, isn't it? But what's the Bible say? What's the key things the Bible says we should believe? Look at this. In Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 23, and being let go, oh, they let him go? Why'd they let him go? If you want to stand up and boldly preach the gospel, especially in a public platform, and you're like, man, you better be careful. You're going to get in trouble. Do some research on the Christian Law Association. The Christian Law Association is a bunch of Christian attorneys that got together. They formed a little club. And you know what they do? They mainly go around and fight campuses. When somebody gets in trouble, when a coach gets in trouble for praying with his players or proclaiming the gospel or a teacher or a student, they will come in. And you ought to just look at like the cases they win. It's unbelievable. They're like, that is so unconstitutional. You can't shut that down. You can't. Now, if this group wants to parade and do their thing, they can do whatever they want to. And yet all of a sudden, the campus is going to shut this group of people down over here. That's exactly what will happen. It's trying to happen here. But you know what they said? There was a group of men that stood up and just said, let me ask you something. Do you really think we're going to listen to you or listen to God? Seriously. I mean, they're trying to silence these people. And they made it clear that you won't silence us. Guys, but it's going to offend people. The gospel's offensive to those that don't believe. Those that believe are going to stand up and say, my gosh, I've never walked like this before. That's right, because it's true. There'll be a group of believers. I love what happens next. Because there's, you know, basically, so this minority group of religious people wanted to stand up and just say, okay, you guys need to shut your mouths. And then they threaten them, you know. Which is funny to me, because if you know anything about Peter, I'm not sure I'd threaten Peter. Would you? This is the guy that he doesn't hesitate to open his mouth. This is the guy that didn't hesitate to pull the sword out and chop it. I don't know what he was chopping for, chopping that dude's ear off. And Peter's like, you really think you're going to silence me? That ain't going to happen. And so they're like, we better let these guys go. Stop causing a ruckus. The gospel causes a ruckus. It's changed lives that are causing the ruckus. Then it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So check out verse 23. When they were let go, they went to their what? Their own company. If I was going to give some points today, I'm going to give you a bunch of words that start with a P, just so we can maybe remember some of these things. They went, you know where they went? They went to their tribe. They went to their own company. They went to their people. Don't you like that? Like, you know, you just imagine a group of gangsters, you know, and just like, these are my people. Yeah. Hey, I got news for you. Go tell your people that my people said. Yeah, that's kind of how these guys are. He says, you know, they went to their own company because there was a group of people, a tribe of people that, you know, and I'm not talking about like, I think of Psalms 1:1 where it says, hey, be careful. Don't get counsel from the ungodly. Be careful taking your counsel from just a bunch of smart people. Be careful getting all of your information from the news media. You know, it came out, started about 4 years ago on social media. Do you realize what's happening right now? Do you remember that? That something would be announced like, that's fake news. Fake news. Yeah, it's really big. Do you realize that's the problem we got on our hands now? Because if you got a social media and it's a platform and the news is out there, anybody can post anything. That's why a radio station, you know what a radio station said? A radio station, like they were announcing that one of the major playoff games was going to be moved to Cleveland. So like, yeah, the Chiefs-Dolphins game is going to be moved to Cleveland. It spread like wildfire. It hit national news and they were just like, the NFL confirmed the game is not going to be moved. But it spread. It all started with a radio station. And I liked that because I was just like, my gosh, that's what the gospel needs to do. We need to get out there. But we got truth, you see. But the big thing now is going to be we're all going to have a hard time proving what's real and what's fake. That's what's coming down the pipe. I hope everybody knows that. You're not going to be able to trust what you read anymore. And I'm not just saying Fox or CNN. I'm talking about just any social media platform, whatever comes out of people's mouths. They can take sound bites and AI can make anything sound like everybody and anybody, anything they want to. So everybody's going to, and so guys, once again, there's going to be problems. There's going to be a major obstacle and people are going to be like, what's true? What's not true? Well, I heard this. Is that, well, about this? It's a platform for you and me to stand up and says, hey, we know one thing that's true. It's the gospel. Let's stay in our lane. I don't know what's the truth. You know, and that's what we really tried to do 4 years ago. You remember COVID? We all tried to, like, I tried my best to, like, think, I don't know. Is that true? How many people, this person, how, what about that? This, I don't know. Did they do, gosh, I can't, what? What did she say? Oh, yeah, it's true. And then I'd get on and investigate later. I'm like, I don't know where they got that from, but I can't even find it. Isn't it weird? But it spreads. Hey, just stay in our lane. We know what's true. We know exactly what God and His Word has said, right? So I just like how they go to their own company. Notice it says own. I hope you have your own tribe of people. And hopefully, guys, all of us here, all of us in this room, we got a tribe. That word is translated, their own company, in one word. It's translated like when the disciples came to Him privately. I'm not talking about public. This is a group of people sometimes. You know how it is. Your kid gets embarrassed or your kid gets hurt and they're doing their best to keep it all together because they're out in public. And then all of a sudden, you can come in and just say, hey, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. This is our club now. This is private. And you'll put your arms around and usually they'll go, it's safe here. They got their own company. Yeah, these people might reject you, but here, no, this is our private group, man. You can say whatever you want to out there and let it ring out. But you know, this is a private group. I like that own, that our own company, a group of people that own me. And you can own them. I love it. It's beautiful, isn't it? There's a verse that Timothy uses in 1 Timothy 5 about widows. But he says, hey, don't take care of widows if they have family. So basically, don't make sure that their family members show piety at home. That word home is the same word own company. So I guess if anything, I want everybody to know in this church, and I want everybody to feel it really deeply. You're home this morning. Everybody online, you're plugged in today, you're home. This is our company. This is good company here. This is good people here. The word on the street might be different, but when you get on the inside, you're like, this is good stuff here. These are good people. They went to their own company. I just like that. So the first P word today is just, I hope you have your people. And inside this company, you should have your own little intimate group of people, your private group that you can share your life and your heart with. You notice it says here that they shared the report. That's what it says. They reported all that had happened unto them. So they showed the paths that they have walked, they reported. See, they were sharing their life and their testimony. That's what we tried to do, small groups there for a bit, a place where you could go with your people and share the paths that you had walked that week and give a report of that. Because look what it caused everybody to do in verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. So I want you to know something. They start this thing off. They go to their group of people, to their private group. And guys, out in public, it's not always going to be good for you. You're going to get your teeth kicked in at work a little bit. This is a safe place, right? You're going to get your helmet cracked open. That's what's going to happen. You can come in here. It's a private group. You can share the path that you're on. It might not always be good. That's another reason why you share it. But these guys shared their testimonies. And what did they do? They lifted up their voice with one accord. They lifted up their voice. I like you to think of the P word praise here. Because they call out to God and just says, man, He, our Lord, man, He is God. Did you know Jesus Christ even said, you know, the key, guys, to making a difference is lifting me up. If you lift me up, I'll draw all men to myself. And you know how we lift Jesus up? We lift up our voice. That's how. Now, here it was in a private setting. I get it. But before they came here privately and told them everything, they were doing it in the public. And so here that they were lifting it up. And some of you, like, you know, like, keep it some secret. God's not some secret that should be kept. He's given us a voice. You know what He's given you a voice for? To lift it up. They lifted up their voice. And I'll tell you what. And by the way, our praise has got to get better in this church. There's got to be more in 2024. And I'm even talking about our music, man. We've got to get bigger. We've got, not necessarily bigger here, but with our voice to lift up. Like, you know, you watching this game last night, there were dudes in negative 25 with their shirts off, screaming their lungs out. And there was something in me that thought, I wish I was there. I would have loved to have been in that crowd of people doing that. Just to say you did it. How many people get to go to a big time playoff game like that? Let alone be on national TV with no shirt on. You know? My gosh, they lifted it up. And I love this. You know, the Bible's pretty clear, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We should live our lives in such a way that when we get a chance, out of our mouth comes the story of Christ in public, and we get into private. And you know what we got? We have nothing but praise for our God and what He has done. These guys are like, guys, man, we could have been in deep trouble. They let us go. They let us go. You know why they let them go? Because they were obeying the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, here's what you do. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. So you need to go. Go ye therefore and preach. In Acts 1:8, He says, I'll give you power and ye shall be witnesses. You shall open your mouth. They were going. They had a real purpose and a real cause. So they get together, and when they were together, so one of the things our company here should be known for is praise. We should be known for lifting Him up, you know, like the Moses story. When they lifted Jesus up, everybody was drawn, and anybody that looked got healed. It's the same thing. We've all experienced healing. That's why we're here, and we lift our voice up with one accord. All of us together, we sing, and we praise, because our lives have just been changed. We, Romans 12 it, right? You read that yesterday. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We share testimonies of what happened. And somebody says, hey, man, I got a chance to do this. I got to share today. And I just think of, you know, we should probably take 5 minutes at the end of the day and have the green share what happened. You know, Carrie's dad passed away, but this guy, they celebrated his life. A bunch of people was there just like, he's impacted me. And the bottom line is everybody was really talking, but you know where all arrows pointed to? Christ. They pointed to Jesus. Because that's how all of them really met. That's how they had these connections. There was a few blood family there, but the rest was the saints. It was a company of people that gathered together. And as they would talk and share their stories, and the path of one fella who was faithful to the Lord passed away, they had nothing but praise. Praise for him, a praise for the one that did the work inside of him. That's how it should work for you and me. That's what the Bible says, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Death, oh, that just means face to face. My faith becomes sight. This is pretty awesome, right? So I like it says in verse 29. Well, let's go to verse 24. When they heard that, they lift up their voice of God with one accord. Do you see that? One accord. They lifted their voice to God all together. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth. You're the creator of the sea, all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, watch this, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Everybody was against him, for of a truth, verse 27, of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They're always against you. And now they heard a story. Yeah, they threatened us. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak the word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. That's a Jewish term, signs and wonders. All started off with one guy getting healed. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you see it? Do you see it? What I love about this part of this story is their praise, you can see what they're doing. It clearly says in verse 20, and when they had prayed, they were praying together. Our company here at MCBC, we're going to, more in 24, we are going to praise God. We're going to lift his name up on high. We are going to be a praying people. And you know what that always going to lead to? Preaching. That's what he says here. It says that we're going to leave this place, and everybody, it says they just spake with boldness, verse 29. I like this. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Guys, isn't this crazy? As they're praying, think about this. They're praying and they're like, yeah, they threatened. And so what would you pray? They threatened. Stop this. Knock this off. Here's what's going to happen to you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And people, oh, if you want to do that, you know what we're going to do? They're threatening churches right now. We're going to take your tax exemption away. That's it. Ooh. Then we'll freaking pay taxes. We do it at home. That's going to shut us down or shut us up? That's the silliest threat I've ever heard in my life. So what did they say? They were threatened. And what did they do? God, please keep us safe. You never hear that prayer here. God, please protect us. Scary out there, God. They're actually doing the opposite. Hey, God, would you grant us boldness as we leave this place? Because it's tough out there. They're threatening us. But guys, that threat fuels this fire, right? It tells me that our message is a threat to them. Why don't we speak up? Why don't we speak up? We get butts what my mom did to me. Ever throw a fit in a grocery store? We did once. I remember my brother's 3 years older than me. We wanted something in the store, and my mom just got louder. She got louder than me, and it shut us up. We were trying to calm her down. Please, in the Kroger. We were in a Kroger, I remember, and she's like, hey, dude, you know, you guys ain't going to get this up on me. And she raised her voice, and my gosh, she won. She won. They threaten, grant us boldness. I like that. It says in verse 30, Look at verse 30. It says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. So Jesus obviously changed his life. And by the way, his healing hands are me and you. We are the body of Christ now. And so we get the opportunity with our mouths to share this great message that changes people's lives. Verse 31 says that they prayed. And what happened? The place was shaken where they were at. See this? The church should always cause a ruckus. Hey guys, you know why more people don't come to prayer? Because we're not receiving answers to prayer. If people know that God's listening, God's moving, people would show up. We'd have people from other churches come. People in the neighborhood would be showing up here. There's something special going on in that place. There's a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's one of the best books I've ever read on prayer. As a matter of fact, I've read it like four times now. It's just about that. It's Jim Cimbala, the guy up in New York, who basically, they just started gathering and praying during the week. And just praying. And they were praying. It was nothing sexy or nothing really even fun, but God kept showing up. And that they had so many miraculous stories happen on that night because they were praying people. And we need to be that. It says here that they were praying, and it says the place where they were at was shaken. That place was shaken to pieces, man, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And what's churches get a hold of verses like this, and I know they, you know, they want to feel God's, get the God bumps on their arms and, you know, shake and do weirdness, things like that. But what you see here is the real proof's in the pudding here. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God, this just emboldened the church. And this is how I think we need to be. And I want to feel God's presence. And God, would you shake where I work? Would you shake my neighborhood? Guys, may people know that you're in the house, man, when we call on your name. But we're going to assemble together. I like this. Our own people. And we're going to praise. We're going to pray. And I love verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Isn't that awesome? One heart and one soul. Basically, all the pieces were at peace. Unity. This is called unity. All the pieces came together as one piece. You know why? And everybody prays this all the time. Lord, you know, we want to be unified. And people want to pray this all the time about the world. May the world be unified. Hey, guys, it's not going to be unified. What's going to be unified is us, our company coming together. We pray. We know the source of power. We pray. We praise, man, and it gives a boldness, and we proclaim, and we preach the gospel. And anybody that believes that, you know what happens? The pieces come together. I was talking to a man just 2 weeks ago in our church, and we were talking about some negative things that have happened in a couple years. He said, I'm convinced of one thing. Those people that we are talking about, they do not believe what the Bible says. Because a group of people that gets together and believe it, you know what it does? Those pieces come together as one. We sense, and what we're going to witness here again, because look what it says in verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. We see the great power. Acts 1:8 says he'll give us power, the Holy Ghost inside. That power fuels the mission that we go and present the message. So that's the last word we got is power. But see, the peace is unity. That's what I'm talking about, unity. And I don't want to be just the umbrella that we're unified behind. It's the gospel. It's what the Bible says. Clearly, that's it. Done. This is our company. This is our private club. We get to gather today. Praise the Lord. We pray. That's right. But remember what caused all this. Out there, it was a ruckus. And you know what they're praying for? Not peace, not safety. Oh, God, you know, like now, give us wisdom when to speak and when not to speak. How about you go until God says no? How about we speak until you can't speak no more? How about we lift Christ up like he said and he'll draw men to himself? We'd be unified under that cause. I do want to point out something here I think is neat. It says in verse 33, it says with great power, verse 34, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Interesting. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. They laid them down at the apostles' feet and distributed. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I just wanted to point this out. Another P word is, in this company, there's provision. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there's provision. I don't ever want to be a church that gets together and just says, here's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to pull all of our funding together and we're going to give toys away to kids that don't have toys at Christmas time. It's not the best way to spend the money as a church, just to let you know that. Our money and funding goes to a group of people. We're of the same company, man. These are my people. We praise. We pray. God empowers us. We boldly go out and proclaim this gospel message that's supposed to change the world. This is what we do. And under this banner and this flag, we are unified. And when anybody in this group of people struggles, if we have the means to help, we help. Almost every Sunday morning, somebody reaches out to me on, it's the same guy right now, on Messenger. And he knows, I guess, Sunday morning that I'm going to be here. I assume he's kind of getting over a hangover. I'm not sure exactly the guy's story. I know the man. And he gets a hold of me and usually wants something. And I said a couple weeks ago, I said, tell me where you're at right now. I'm going to send somebody and we're going to give you $20. We're going to help you out, bro. And we knew this guy got saved. He got saved under our ministry at the Warren County Jail. And he said, well, I don't really have a place right now. Tell me where you're at and we'll get to you. And then it ended. So we never got a chance to get him there. So this morning, same thing. It's early this morning, just like, hey, Mike. Sometimes he'll call me pastor, but hey, Mike. And it's usually a need. He wants something. I'm just like, wow, he's missing it. If he was a part of this company, we'd provide. Nobody in this room is going to go hungry because we're unified under a cause. Why do we support missions? Because they're usually in a place, they're needy, or sometimes if we have a guy from the U.S. go somewhere, they can't get jobs over there, you know, especially when the unemployment is down the toilet. And so we're like, hey, we want to fund that. So we give our monies to poor people. Why? Because we don't want the minister to sit around with his family figuring out how he's going to feed them bread the next couple days. Dude, eat bread. And when you're done, do the work. Proclaim the gospel. And that's why we support people. That's why we want to give our monies for that to happen. People that are willing to do that. So guys, we are unified, but we are also provided for. That's the Church of Jesus Christ does that. That's why Christians stand up like David in Psalms 37. We say, have you ever seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging for bread? It don't happen. It don't happen. God's people are taken care of. It's just that simple, isn't it? That's how the church works. No, we're not a social service. No, what we do is we're causing a ruckus. If you're willing to cause a ruckus with the gospel message, if you're willing to give the glory and all praise, we praise together in this company of people. We pray together, and then we go out, we get empowered, and we go out and proclaim this message. We're out to win the world for Christ, to make disciples. We're out for God to get glory. Anybody that's under that banner, you can eat at my table. I can eat at yours. I love the provision that we find here with God's people. You don't have to beg for that. Get this girl taken care of, man. Because we're after a greater cause, right? That's why even Paul, when he goes into Asia, there was a group of ladies. And a group of ladies pulled him in and just, hey, we'll take care of you. And they did. They funded his ministry. A group of women just said, well, make sure. We want this guy to have a roof over his head. We wanted him to be fed. But Paul, can't you work? He was totally capable of working. But if he's making a big dent, he's proclaiming the gospel, planting churches, that's the work we want to see done. So let's give this guy some bucks, you know. It says in verse 33, it says here that keying on the word great power. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Isn't this beautiful? They had no lack. It's just a beautiful story. You know what it is? It's a beautiful story of a group of people that are called to more. No matter what we do, Now, we have to make a living, and I know some of you do that. We got all kinds of livings made here in this room. Some of you are gifted with your hands. You do things. Some, it can be factory work. It don't matter. God skilled some of you. Some of you got education. You can do things that other people can't do. And you know what all that is for? All that is for God's glory. Man, that's it. All of it's for to cause a ruckus. That's all it's for. It's for more. It's for more. It's for bigger. It's for eternity. So remember the P words today. Who's your people? Share your paths, man. Share your story. We get together. That's what we do when we come on Sunday mornings. I would love on Sunday mornings, I would love for somebody to say, hey, dude, in between song two, sometimes we'll say, has anybody got a testimony to give God glory? You got to quit doing that because we're at church till 2:30. We got to eat. We got kids that need to take naps. Instead, it falls silent sometimes. I hate that feeling. I hate it. We should come in here and say, hey, we got a report, man. We got something to share. And then notice the next word was praise. They lift up their voice with one accord and says, oh my gosh, Lord, you are God. You are the creator of the universe. We praise him for what he's done. It all started with one guy, lame guy walking. And then they even mentioned the word prayer. That's what they were doing, praying. They're asking. They're not asking for safety. They're asking for more boldness to do what? There's our next P word, to preach. People don't. You know, people say this all the time. Oh, man, this church is cool, man. A guy will just sit up there in a stool and, you know, he teaches. It's not like old time, you know, fire and brimstone type of stuff. You used to go to church, I remember as a kid, and fire. People don't want that stuff anymore. What do they want? Well, the Bible says at the end, though, their ears, they're tingling, and people just want to itch their ear just to bring them comfort. No, you know what we do at our church? People that are comfortable, we preach the truth so they can become uncomfortable. And then they pray, instead of praying for a little comfort in their lives, what do they pray for? Some great boldness. God grant us boldness to get this out of there in any way we can. They are filled with God's Spirit, and they begin to preach. Man, it's all about preach, causing a ruckus. Next thing, P word, pieces become at peace. Fragments come together. We are a beautiful mosaic. We are a people of unity, but we're unified under a cause, a purpose, a mission. Not under anybody's habits in this room, anybody's hobbies in this room, you know, your football team. You start looking at this stuff, you're like, well, that's irrelevant. And who you want to win. How about this? We're playing for God to get glory. Let's do this. That's one thing. I was pulled yesterday a little bit because I was watching a game. And I had a team that I wanted to win. It was the Browns. It's where I grew up at. Cleveland Browns are in the playoffs. Let's go, Brownies. They got smoked. I mean, they look like a high school team compared to these professionals. My mom called me and just said, yeah, you know, I had my Browns hat, my Browns slippers on. By the time she called me, I already hauled them to the closet. I ought to put them away. And I was like, next year, pull these out next fall. I shoved out in the call. My mom called and just said, yeah, sometimes, yeah. She's talking about it. I said, hey, Mom, do you know the quarterback for the Texans? And she goes, no. She goes, that young rookie? I said, yeah, Stroud. I said, stick around your TV until. She goes, oh, he's coming on right now. Then I said, Mom, listen, he's going to testify. First words out of his mouth is, I want to thank my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Stroud's story is he got in a little bit of trouble, ended up doing some time behind bars. Christ rescued him. He's now on a massive platform, a rookie, playing incredible ball. And I'm like, I'll tell you right now, the Browns can get flushed down the toilet if the other team will stand up and proclaim the message that I live for. I was okay with it. I'll burn them Brown slippers, man. It don't matter because there's a greater cause. And I just love how we're unified. He said, you'll be provided for. And I like how it talks about the power, because that's where it all started, right? Because I have nothing, my lame life, and as soon as I got saved, the power to heal this guy made him. Most people, I'm telling you, today, and guys, remember that it all started with one lame man. One man that couldn't walk. So think of it this way in our culture. People that can't do life. They don't know how to be married. They don't know how to be productive. They don't know how to save money. They don't know how to raise kids. They don't know how to do all the simple things that life would require. And guess what? The gospel message that we have has the power, can give a real power and a purpose to somebody's life, and they can learn it all. We got the answers. I love the church. I love this church. Not just the church. I love this church. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning, and I hope you're fired up to do more, to see God do more in our presence. That's really the call out. Not less, but more. Does anybody got any comments before we leave? Bob, do you got a message? You want to do it? Yeah, we're turning Bob loose. Bob preached at another church here a few weeks ago, and he just said, hey, can you turn me loose in January? I'll turn you loose. So we're going to turn him loose, and because the call now is to more. It's time for some change. And hey, nobody heard nothing new today, did you? Last couple weeks, nobody heard nothing. There's nothing I didn't learn new, but I see it. I'm like, my gosh, I'm moved by this, God. I know what to do. I know it. So.